if you're a person who loves God and His Word, sooner or later Satan will see to it that something or someone rises up that will make things miserable. And sometimes that person who will be used most of Satan may be one that's actually close to you. It's certainly true in the life of David. And we look at this superscription, and it gives us historical background to this psalm, Psalm 59. The psalm was written for the choir director. It means it was to be publicly communicated. It's set to Al-Tashah, which means it's to another Do Not Destroy psalm. And it's a psalm, a mictum of David, which means David is again focused on the written word in writing this psalm in different circumstances. And this psalm was written when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. Now think about that for a moment. This was David's own father-in-law, and he was trying to kill David. And we see that story found in 1 Samuel 19, verses 18 through 14. And we learn from this text is that Satan was behind this attempt to kill David, but Michal, David's wife, helped David escape. We also learn from this that God was sovereign in all this. So even when Satan was involved, God had actually permitted him to be involved. This is a good point to realize. No matter what is happening to us or hitting us, God is still sovereign in it. And in this horrible circumstance, we find David doing what we have seen him doing multiple times in Psalms, and that is he turned to God. And the thesis of this psalm is this. When a faithful child of God comes under some form of satanic attack, he needs to pray and realize, based on the written word of God, that God will help, and in the end, He will sing. So when you're faithful to God, you'll always realize that life isn't going to be easy, and there'll be those who may be led of Satan who will turn against you for no apparent reason. These are not outsiders. These are people on the inside. These are people who talk about God and go to church, but these are people who will be led by Satan to hound you and target you and try to destroy you. When these kinds of things happen, we must always remember the option we have of prayer. Praying to God is a critical theme in the book of Psalms, a repeated Davidic theme that we see in Psalms is talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. So first of all, we see that David prays to God for his deliverance. Deliver me, verse 1, from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For behold, they lie in wait for my life. Fierce men stir up strife against me, for no transgression or sin of mine, O Lord. For no fault of mine they run and make ready. Awake, come to meet me and see. You, Lord God of hosts, are God of Israel. Rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Spare none of those who treacherously plot evil. Selah. So David prays to God for deliverance. When you're under attack as a believer, you have two options. Give up, go to God in prayer. And David opted for that option. And we may observe that this prayer did stem from real urgent need, not some imaginary delusion. David's plight was real. Notice verse 1, he identifies God as my God. Actually, in this psalm, he will use several names for God. He'll say God, the sovereign creator, Lord, the sovereign God of the covenant, Lord, the sovereign controller and master and ruler over all things. He will also identify God as being the Lord God of hosts, meaning he is in sovereign charge of all forces in heaven and on earth. Now, in this prayer, David appeals to God as his personal God for three reasons. Because he needed deliverance from his enemies. David had both foreign and domestic enemies. David specifically prays that God would actually set him above and beyond the reach of his enemies. And because he needed deliverance from those who do iniquity. These were people who appeared to be very religious, who were involved in perverse depravity. And because he needed deliverance from men of bloodshed. These are people who literally really do want to kill and destroy those right with God. If God were not sovereign, he will literally kill every servant of God. And in verses 3 and 4, he gives a description of the tactics of his enemies. These were setting an ambush for him. Enemies are always looking to ambush one faithful to God. They're launching attacks against him. David was the specific target of the satanic attack. And they were setting themselves against him. This would indicate these people entered into conspiracy to try to destroy David. And they were not doing this for any reason he deserved. His actions weren't justified. David was innocent of any sin or crime that would bring on this kind of treatment. When David was hit with trouble, he became very introspective. He would honestly examine himself to see whether or not he had sinned to bring on the negatives. Not a perfect man, but he would honestly analyze himself to determine whether or not he was the cause. And in this case, he was innocent. He had done nothing to bring this on. He was under attack, and this attack was satanic. So in verses 4 and 5, he reiterates his point that he wants God to come to his assistance. He wants God to focus on him and his enemies and punish them and do not be gracious to them in any way. And what the enemies of God's people don't realize is that they have a lot more to fear than just them. They need to fear that the faithful servant of God is praying about them, because if God decides to answer the prayer, the enemies will not be the recipients of the grace of God, but the wrath of God. And David, as he says in verse 5, he says, Selah, stop and think about this. And then David gives a description of his enemies. Look at verses 6 and 7. Each evening they come back howling like dogs and prowling around the city. There they are, bellowing with their mouths, with swords in their lips, for who they think will hear us. David's enemies do their work deceitfully at night. Godless people are involved in secret, behind scenes, dark and deceitful work. They prowl around howling like a dog, talking to any who would listen. And David's enemies go around the city. They were respectable people of the city who were very religious. Most could not spot their deception. And then David's enemies destroy with their mouth. The language here describes the fact that they cannot set a watch before their mouth. They cannot stop themselves from verbally belching forth their destruction and hate. And David's enemies think no one hears. Evil people who are verbally attacking faithful people think no one hears or listens. But Jesus said, not one word is being missed by God. He said that in Matthew 12:33-37. And then he describes, this is talking about David, he describes his confidence in God. Look at verse 8-10. But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You hold all nations in derision. O my strength, I will watch for you. For you, O God, are my fortress. My God in his steadfast love will meet me. God will let me look in triumph as on my enemies. When we find we are under attack, our confidence needs to be completely in God. And David never put any trust or confidence in himself. He put every bit of it in God. David specifically trusted God to take these actions. He trusted God would mock those who were his enemies. He trusted God would get a good laugh at the stupidity of these people. And then he trusted that God would use his strength to defend him. It's the strength and power of God that really needs to be feared. And David trusted that God's mercy would sustain him. David truly anticipated that God's mercy would specifically meet with him in the midst of these problems and sustain him. And then David trusted that God's sovereignty would let him triumph over enemies. Now, someone might say, well, this is just what David believed. His trust in God was his crutch. Well, can you think of a better crutch to lean on than the Almighty God? But the way this is exactly how it would happen. God did defend David, and God did destroy his enemies, including Saul. And then David prays for the wicked. Look at verse 11. He says, kill them not, lest my people forget. Make them totter by your power and bring them down. O Lord, our shield, for the sin of their mouths, the words of their lips, let them be trapped in their pride, for the cursing and lies that they utter. Consume them in wrath. Consume them till they are no more, that they may know that God rules over Jacob to the ends of the earth, Selah. Each evening they come back howling like dogs and prowling about the city. They wander about for food and growl if they do not get their fill. So David prays that God will not slay his enemies. David wanted these people to live long enough to realize how foolish it was to turn against God's faithful people. God does not need to kill our enemies to destroy them. He can cause them to be hit with physical disasters, emotional breakdowns, financial disasters, and work-related nightmares. God can cause enemies of his faithful people to have accidents. He can take away their businesses all the while they are still alive. And if they are smart, they begin to realize, I should have never turned against those faithful people of God. And David prays that God will scatter his enemies. This is the old principle of divide and conquer. And David prays that God will trap his enemies in their own pride. David, God can trap people by their own words. One who lies against one faithful, God can cause to be caught in their own lies. Those who deceitfully use their speech to attack faithful people will themselves be attacked. And David prays that God will destroy his enemies so that they will never do it again. David says, if God would do this to these dogs, then all people would realize it is God who rules over everything. In verses 14 through 15, David again reminds God that if God does not stop them, they will just keep doing and saying what they do over and over again. And then David prays and offers praise to God. Look at verses 16 to 17. He says, but I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O Lord, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. David always praised God. David knew that God was his refuge. David could sing of the mercy of God. He knew God was his strength and God was on his side and God would give him his grace. And when you're under attack, pray. And when you're under attack, worship. And remember, whoever God preserves, Satan cannot destroy. There's comfort in knowing you are innocent when under attack. And it's good to know that God monitors those who verbally attack faithful people. And our strength and our security and our stability is not found in us, but with our God.